I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things, self-care, and messing up our intro.
We have it together.
It's fine.
Sometimes your brain just like doesn't work, and that's fine.
Yeah, my brain's like powering down.
Like I'm answering a telephone.
Yeah, so what did you do this week for self-care?
So, this week for self-care, what did I do? Honestly, I've just been taking a lot of baths because my body hurts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I say baths all the time, but, like, it really kind of is my go-to.
Yo, you put on a podcast, you throw a bath, like,
it's my favorite. Life is good. Yeah, just to kind of, like, relax and soak up the goodness.
Oh, well, I'll have to do that because I have a bath now. I think I've mentioned that like every week, but
did you use it yet?
I haven't yet.
Kim.
Well, there's been a lot going on.
Fine. Use your bathtub.
I'm sorry. I'm engaged and everyone wants to be my friend, okay? Like, it's not
sorry,
my
I'm so
fault.
Popular.
Sorry I'm so freaking popular. At this point, though, we're recording this in January because we're giving Danae a break when she has Bebe. So, maybe by when we record again, I will have taken a bath.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to be like, we haven't recorded for 2 months. We don't remember what's up and what's down. So.
What did you do for your self-care?
You know what? Since a lot's been going on, I had a salad and it was just, I think about it often. It was really good. It was like, I like
salad?
Spinach salads. Like, that's my
yeah.
jam.
Spinach
like,
is
iceberg is fine, but it's like...
Ew, I hate iceberg.
It's
fuck
fine.
Iceberg.
It's fine, but it's like, you know...
Honestly, like, iceberg can just fuck all the way off. It has no nutritional value.
It just tastes like dirty water.
Like,
I'll eat it, though. I'm not gonna say, like,
oh,
no.
I won't.
Like,
if
but...
If I want a crunchy salad, I'll do romaine.
That is good stuff. Anyways,
but I do like
so
spinach.
This was spinach... And it had cranberries, like craisins, I guess. Not cranberries, but craisins.
Yes.
And then walnuts.
Goat cheese?
You know.
Oh, sorry, you can't eat cheese, my bad.
There was cheese. It was
You're
not on
missing
mine.
Out.
It was on Keith's.
Okay.
And bacon. And this
Ooh.
Is going to sound weird. Honey mustard sauce.
Okay, yeah. It's got to have like a nice sweet sauce.
Yeah.
So good.
There's one we did in the past. It was kind of the same thing, but it was like a lemon
Ooh,
sauce.
Like
it was
a
so
lemon
good.
Vinaigrette or something.
Yeah, like, and bacon.
Mm.
Sometimes
Where
I
did
think
you
about
go
it.
To get this?
It was just
HelloFresh.
I love HelloFresh.
Okay.
It was so good.
Nice.
There's been a lot going on, so I was like, that salad, I think about that salad often, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
I had a really good beet salad at, we need to take you guys to Homegrown Tap and Dough.
Is it the one that's across the street from Lariat?
Yeah.
We went there, but let's go there again. I love that place.
Dude, it's so good.
It's so good.
We always go there at work for lunch because they have a really good lunch special where it's like you get a mini pizza, any pizza of your choice, any salad of your choice, and it's like $13.
Isn't it sad that $13 is like such a good deal now?
But they have like really good salads.
Yeah.
Had like a
No, that's
roasted...
amazing. That's such a good price and like all that.
And their pizzas are bomb.
I love pizza.
It was like a roasted beet salad. So it was like, I think it was spinach as the base, beets, and then
Battlestar Galactica.
Some
bears. Beets.
Bears.
Battlestar Galactica.
Beets. Battlestar Galactica.
I do like beets. There's some
I love
taco
beets.
Recipes I've had with beets in it. And you like
Oh, it had chunks of grapefruit.
Oh, where?
And then, like, I think I it was, like, roasted walnuts or some shit. Some goat cheese and then, like, a really yummy light vinaigrette. Oh, it was so good.
Other than the goat cheese, I'm on board.
It was amazing.
Where are we going? Oh, no,
it was arugula was the base. Love some arugula.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Who doesn't love arugula?
I'd like to meet that person and punch him in the face.
Well, now I want a salad.
Yeah, salads are always a good option.
Good job nourishing your body.
Yes! So what are you going to tell me about this week?
Okay, so this week I'm going to tell you about an Amish serial killer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whoops. Okay. So.
Serial killers are in every community.
Several sources that I will list.
Yeah.
If
you ever wonder about our sources, we list them on not only our show notes, but we list them in our Instagram. So.
Correct.
We are not plagiarizers.
Right. So. We're going to the year of 1977.
I'm there.
We're in Dalton, Ohio, in, like, Amish country.
I can't relate, but I'm gonna pretend I can relate. Yeah,
just there. Imagine some, like, buggies, some farms.
Horses.
Some people with some hats and beards.
We got a hat situation going on.
We got a hat situation. Imagine Amish Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic.
I love that song.
Playing in the background.
We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise.
It's a great song.
So good.
Okay, so it's July 12th, 1977. Ida Stutzman is a 26-year-old pregnant woman.
So I'm sure she looks like she's 50.
Wow, okay.
No, I've seen pictures and I'm like, why do they look so, like, they're
so haggard.
Yeah. It's, well, like, be happy. You don't have to deal with the modern technologies of today, which are a nightmare.
You know, moisturizer goes a long way.
Oh.
No, I don't know if she looked haggard.
Okay. That was mean of me. I apologize.
I love it. Anyways, she's 26. She's pregnant. She's the wife of Eli Stutzman.
It's summer, and I hope she's keeping cool somehow.
With all her clothes, yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So she actually died in a barn fire close to midnight.
Oh.
Yes.
Close to what?
Midnight.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So the couple, Eli and Ida, belong to an ultra-conservative Amish sect called the Schwarzentruber Order.
Okay.
So just a little background on that. Like, these are, like, the most conservative Amish people. Like, Amish people are pretty,
like, Mennonites don't even, yeah.
But these are, like, the top conservative ones.
So they are not the, on the show, Breaking Amish.
No. So they obviously don't allow electricity, which is pretty normal for Amish people.
Do they do the Rumspringa?
I don't know.
Okay.
They don't allow running water or flushing toilets.
Oh, two of my favorite
Velcro
things.
Is like a huge fucking no-no.
Why?
Because it's too modern. I don't know.
Okay.
The women's dresswear is even more conservative than other sects. As in, like, some of the other sects of the Amish, they allow the dresses to go to mid-calf. Whereas these guys are like...
to the ground.
You know, we don't play around with ankles, you know?
Oh, fuck.
So it's like all the way to the top of the shoe. So nothing showing. They also hate bikes. They're not allowed.
Bikes!
Like, you can't ride
Shout
a bike.
Shout out to Keith.
It
he
is
gets it.
Way too modern for what we do here. So just so you know.
Okay. That's,
they're like hardcore.
I mean, if they're killing it without all those things, like, more power to them.
If you love churning butter, good for you.
Yeah, go you.
It's not for me, but whatever. So, the Stutzman family barn had apparently been struck by lightning, according to husband Eli. He claimed that Ida had woken him up shortly after midnight to let him know that the barn was ablaze, but she wanted to make sure to, like, save some of their milking equipment before the fire got too out of hand.
Oh, no.
So she ran into the barn, and when she didn't return, Eli went in after her to find her lying on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
He picked her up.
You can't tell me, just really quickly. Sorry, I'm getting resituated.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that this man, his pregnant wife, was faster than him getting out there. I disbelieve with that. So, and like, the fact that he's like, oh, I went after her. No.
She was 8 months pregnant, too. So, like, she's waddling, you know?
Could you imagine you and me racing right now?
Oh, my God. Don't make me run.
Like, I will never. I will cry. Danae, I would never make you run. But, like, imagine. But
pregnant running?
That Gold on the Ceiling is playing.
Oh, my God.
And we're trying to get back to our seats.
I can't.
Like, no. No, sorry. An agile young man who's probably 26 also, I'm sure, around that time. Yeah, fuck that shit right now. And why are you letting your wife go in when she's pregnant?
Yeah, come on.
I don't care if you want to save your milking equipment. You need...
Then you go save it.
Yeah, you go save it. She's not that worried about it. She shouldn't be. She's pregnant. Let her rest. Okay, go on. Okay. Sorry, I just had to...
Also, side note, she was 8 months pregnant. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, yeah. So she's like fully like pregnant.
She's you right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's lying on the ground. Eli picks her up, he brings her out into the fresh air, and he attempted to take life-saving procedures, but it was too late.
Oh no, I'm so surprised.
According to him. Ida was transported to the Dunlap Memorial Hospital, where she was announced dead on arrival in the early hours of that morning.
I'm about to ask a serious question, so don't think I'm asking this sarcastically. Uh-huh. Were they allowed to use modern equipment to save their lives, or was that frowned down upon?
So, in emergencies, yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, usually it's like they're not allowed to use cars or anything like that, but like in times where it's like life or death,
because I know they make, like, an exception. And I ask that because I know, like, Jehovah's Witnesses, they are not allowed blood transfusions even if the person's gonna die.
Sure.
So I know that's like, that's why I ask, because I'm like thinking about, like, some religions don't allow certain things, so
right,
I'm just like, oh, I know, like, blood transfusions, like, people have said that are Jehovah's Witness, they're like, yeah, if I need one and I don't get one, I'll die, because you don't allow that. So I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's the same way.
Yeah, no, they make exceptions if it's like...
Okay, good.
People might die.
Yeah.
So, it's just heartbreaking because she was pregnant and she also left behind her one-year-old son.
Oh, so Danny. She has... I was like, please tell me she doesn't already have kids.
Yeah, so poor little Danny is only one.
I'm suspicious of Eli. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you should be. So...
Wow, the husbands are shocking.
Surprising. Shocking. Eli claimed that Ida died of a bad heart, which was strange to say, and more importantly, completely untrue, according to her doctor.
So she, did they, okay, did he say this after she had been pronounced dead and, like, probably the doctors gave her a...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so the ME ruled that Ida had died of natural causes and it was all accidental, blah-de blah blah blah. And the police were like, welp, our job here is done.
Oh, and like when just, we're ready to leave, when we do the welp.
So they just, like, didn't fucking investigate. I think also the fact that she was Amish played a part in that, because it's kind of like they have their own, like, kind of laws and stuff. And they were just like, okay, we'll take your word for it. Well,
people that have their
it.
Own community, I mean, like, I know Native Americans, too, also have their own kind of, like, law as well.
Yeah.
But it's their own community, so it's like, okay.
Yeah. And no one was really, like, pushing, not that you should have to push for an investigation on something that seems so fucking suspicious.
Well, because I'm sure they're like, Eli's a man of the Lord, so I'm sure he wouldn't lie to us. And, like, you shouldn't have to think that.
Yeah, so the case is kind of glazed over as unsuspicious, even though Ida's family and their neighbors did always have a strong suspicion that Eli was involved.
Why? Did they hate him?
They just, like, it doesn't fucking make sense. She just died in a barn from a bad heart. Like, that's not a thing.
Okay, I forgot about the bad heart part.
Yeah, it was highly suspicious.
Yeah.
So there is an author named Greg Olson. He wrote about this case in his 1990 book called Abandoned Prayers. But he has recently published a new book re-examining Ida's case called The Amish Wife, Unraveling Lies, Secrets, and Conspiracy That Let a Killer Go Free. So this was like just released, like early January 2024.
Okay. Okay, so this has kind of been reignited.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, excuse me. According to Olson's research, and looking into this case,
yeah,
he found out that Eli was a closeted gay man who was known to have what the Amish community thought of as, this is what the Amish community thinks, mental health issues.
Well, okay.
AKA, he's just gay.
I understand that a lot of religions are against people being gay, which is
fucked up.
Fucked up all alone. But I'm sure the Amish community, because they're extremists, like religion, yeah, like that's really wrong. Like,
right.
On and their side.
Especially the fact that he's in the most conservative sect.
Yeah, not even like the Mennonites, who are also pretty, but they, I think they allow their, the Rumspringa. But that's really sad. Yeah. That he was looked at as mentally, because
like
he
there
just,
was something wrong with
him. Yeah, because he liked men. Like,
so there's a lot of shame going on. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of secrecy.
I'm really glad I was not born into
that. The community tried to help him with his, quote, problems.
Oh, my God.
And Eli knew that as long as he stayed married to Ida, they'd keep trying to cure him. So, since the Amish also don't believe in divorce.
So he was cornered.
His motive was clearly to get his wife out of the way so that he could pursue the lifestyle that he so desperately wanted to live.
Why did he just leave? He didn't.
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that when you grow up.
No, you're right. Because we're always like, people are always like, leave. And it's like, it's not that easy.
Yeah. So, in his mind, not saying it's right,
yeah,
murder was the only way out. And pretty quickly after Ida's suspicious death, Eli started putting ads for male companionship into a known gay magazine called The Advocate.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did he even know what a gay magazine would be? Because, you know, it's not like he has access to outside information.
I mean, I don't know if he researched it, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to find a way, you can find a way, you know?
Yeah, well, I just wonder, because I'm like, I mean, me, I could find that in 2 seconds because I have a phone, but, like, if he's, you know, if bikes are too modern, like...
Well, and it's not that they don't know of things in the modern world, they're just not allowed to participate in the modern world, you know?
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
So, by 1979, Eli had abandoned the Amish community. He sold his farm and moved to Ignacio, Colorado.
I'm certainly not on his side, but I mean, good for him leaving the community. Yeah, but like, fuck this guy still. But
like, get out of there.
Yeah.
So he went to Colorado, and he obviously brought his younger son.
I mean, good choice,
Danny. I guess he wanted to begin a new life of cattle ranching.
And how old was Danny at this point? Because I know he was like 1 year old when his mom
when
had passed away.
She died,
away.
So he's like 3 at this point.
Okay.
And they go
to
Colorado.
Yeah.
So now we're going to jump ahead to 1985.
Okay, Christmas so 6 Eve. Years later?
Yeah, Christmas Eve, Chester, Nebraska. A gas station owner named Chuck Cleveland was driving on US 81 when a pop of bright blue caught his eye in the snowy landscape.
Curious, at nighttime?
No, it was like during the day.
Okay, I was
so,
like,
kind of curious, like, what is that? He pulled off the road to investigate, and to his utter horror, he found a little boy frozen in the snow, only wearing blue pajamas.
He's still alive?
No.
Oh my God.
So he's obviously freaked out. He alerts authorities, and there was an article where he talked about how he was just so horrified because he had kids too. So after he alerted authorities, he went home and checked on his own kids just to, like, make sure that they were okay.
Yeah.
Because it just, like, broke his heart. So, unfortunately, the authorities could not identify who the child was. So, the town of Chester nicknamed this little boy Little Boy Blue.
Aww.
And it just, like...
And he was, like, a 9-year-old boy? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, the whole town is just, like, heartbroken. They're devastated that there's this unknown child found dead in their community. Like, they're the nicest people. Like, they called it, like, the smallest town with, like, the biggest heart. And so they built him a roadside memorial.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. And the community kind of came together to hold a funeral for him. So, like, one person donated a plot of, like, in the cemetery. Another person paid for the gravestone.
Oh.
The community came together to literally, like, hold a funeral for this little boy. And the church was packed. They had a sermon. They, like, people are, like, crying and grieving this poor boy. And
oh, that's really nice, though, that they did something for him. Especially, like, not knowing who he is. They're like, well, we're his family now.
Totally. They, like, adopted him.
Yeah.
So they gave him the name of Matthew, which means gift of God. And they put that on his gravestone. And they left space underneath so that hopefully, like, one day, if he was identified, they could put his real name.
Oh, smart. That's great.
Yeah. And to this day, like, people will still place toys and coins and flowers. Oh, my God.
I love that. And this is in Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know where, like, if it's close to, like, Omaha or Lincoln? I know where those places are, but that's pretty much...
I don't know where Chester is. I didn't look at a map. But it's in Chester. And, yeah, people still, you know, put stuff on his grave and his memorial site.
Aww.
So, 2 years later, in 1987, a woman was reading about the case of Little Boy Blue in Reader's Digest. And they had made a composite sketch of the boy because they just, like, were trying to find out, like, who is this kid? And she recognized the sketch. And she called authorities. She identified him as Danny Stutzman, Eli and Ida's son, who was only 9 years old at the time of his death.
Yeah.
So, what's horrible is that there's, like, no signs of obvious foul play on...
Where the fuck is Eli is my question. Danny. And I've thought that the whole time, but, like, where's Eli in all this?
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. But, like, when they did the initial, like, kind of autopsy and everything, like, there wasn't, like, bruises on him. There weren't any signs of, like, hypothermia. Like, they brought in...
So he didn't even die experts. Of exposure.
Like, they couldn't find a reason via, like, science of why he died.
Okay, because I assumed it was exposure to the elements.
Yeah, right. You would think, right?
Yeah.
But there was just kind of, like, they just didn't have anything to really go off of for his cause of death.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, obviously, upon the lady being like, this is Danny Stutzman, they track down next of kin, who is Eli Stutzman. They're obviously like, something's fucking weird.
Yeah, like, you're gonna get, like, because my thing would be like, let's track him down to not only let him know his son is, like, dead, but also to let him know. Yeah, exactly. Child endangerment charges. Yeah.
So, even though there wasn't, like, evidence of, like, a murder or foul play, Eli was charged with felony child abuse.
Good.
So, Eli said in court that while he was driving with Danny from Wyoming, so, Danny had been living with foster parents in Wyoming.
Why?
I don't know all the details, but apparently Eli was not... He was struggling with drugs and wasn't making a lot of money.
Okay, so that's good that he
right
like wasn't in charge
but
of him.
He still
but like
had visitation with Danny.
Okay,
so he had drove to Wyoming to
that'd be
pick
hard
up
as foster
Danny
parents.
And then he was coming back to Ohio for, like, Christmas, right? To, like, be with his kid. He said that he just found Danny dead in the back of his car. He had no pulse and was extremely pale.
I'm confused. So he was in charge of Danny at this time. Mm-hmm. So they were staying in Ohio. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to...
They're driving from Wyoming to Ohio.
Okay. And they stop at a motel or whatever?
Yeah, something.
So he just, like, comes out in the morning and he's like, oh.
Conveniently finds Danny dead in the back seat.
Danny just left the hotel room or wherever they were staying and just fell asleep in his back seat.
Or he was getting gas or something. They weren't really specific on, like, how long.
That's where I was like...
Eli had left... And then came back and found Danny dead.
Yeah, that's
so the story is kind of, like, unclear, right?
Yeah, that doesn't... Well, you heard me. I was like, hold on.
Hold on. So he just is like, oh, no, he's dead. He said that he tried to revive his son, but...
Liar.
Danny must have developed a respiratory illness while he was spending time in Wyoming.
Fun fact, you don't parents. Just... suddenly out of nowhere just suddenly like develop a allergy because of something somebody or a respiratory
illness.
It just
doesn't make sense. Like, side eye. So Eli stated that after his failed attempts to revive his son, he prayed over him for several hours and then decided the best course of action would be to put the little boy in a ditch on the side of the road and cover him with snow.
Liar, liar, if we're keeping score.
Well, because he was afraid that his family would be mad and, like...
Yeah, they're more mad now.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
You liar.
So, it just makes me kind of rage out, because, like...
What did you do?
This is a poor child. Like, what?
I was in his jammies.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm just gonna leave him on the side of the road and, like, go home?
That's...
What?
And you are able to sleep at night?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when asked, like, why didn't you just tell the authorities? Like, if it simply was just, like, you found him that way, why didn't you tell anyone?
Yeah, you would immediately, like, if that were to happen to me, I would
freaking out.
Immediately, yeah, I'd be inconsolable, and I'd be immediately calling the authorities, like, yeah. Why the fuck are you outside? Why are you in the, you know? Like... No.
Yeah, so he basically had, like, no good answer. He said, I wish I did. What?
Sir.
And then he said, I decided to leave him and let God take care of
no,
him.
No, no, no.
Like.
No, 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 no.
What kind of sicko does that? It makes no sense.
No.
So, yeah, authorities are like, suspicious. Okay. So when he had arrived back to Ohio without Danny, the family's obviously like, where's Danny?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, he's on a ski trip.
Right there, he is
fucked
up.
And then the foster parents, obviously, they're like, did you guys get home safe? You know, like, let us know when you're going to bring him back or whatever. And he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Like, he's enrolled in school in Ohio, so...
No, that's not how this works.
He's just stay here.
That's not how this works.
Right. So then later, in July of 1986, he told Ida's parents that Danny had died in a car wreck in Utah. So, like, 6 months later, 7 months later, he's like, you know, they're asking too many questions, like, we haven't seen Danny in a while. He's like, oh, he died in a car wreck in Utah.
And you're telling us now why.
Right. So anyways, he sucks and I dislike him a lot.
Yeah.
So he was convicted on misdemeanor charges for abandoning a body and concealing the death of a person. And he was sentenced to only 18 months in prison.
Why the fuck was he only sentenced to 18 months?
Okay, now it gets... There's more.
How? How is that more?
That was just Danny. Now there's some more people. So, following his conviction for Danny, he was convicted for the murder of his roommate, Glenn Albert Pritchett.
Okay, what happened to this motherfucker?
So,
That was mean, but you know what
Danny
I mean.
Had shot his roommate multiple times, also in 1985, and left him in a ditch in Texas. His story was that Glenn just disappeared, and he assumed...
Why does he like ditches so much?
Right? So he just assumed he like had gone back to his family in Montana and never told anyone and was just like, do-do-do, like, whatever. Never told anyone.
Oh, God. Okay.
Like, what? So for this, he was sentenced to 40 years in prison, but paroled in 2002. Okay, so Greg Olson, the author, he believes that Eli killed his son because he knew how Glenn was murdered. He thinks that he was an actual witness to the murder. And he's 9, so, you know, he's, like, old enough to say something. Well, our story
last week, they are getting rid of witnesses.
Yeah. So that's why he thinks that he murdered Danny.
His own flesh and blood.
His own freaking child. So we're not really sure the motive behind killing his roommate. It's just not really... Who knows? We don't know if they, like... had a fight or whatever. Glenn did work with Eli. He was a co-worker as well. But there's just no motive that they know of, because Eli never admitted that he killed Glenn.
It's just kind of like...
He never confessed. They just kind of don't know what went down. Now, seems Eli... had a bit of a murder spree in the year of 1985.
A bit of a murder spree.
Because not only did he kill his roommate and his son, but it is believed that he also killed David Tyler and Dennis Slater in Durango, Colorado. So, David Tyler was a 36-year-old. He was a trusted local mechanic. He co-owned a auto shop with a few other guys, like on the main strip in Durango. And on November 10th, 1985, David was found dead from a severe head injury. And his body was in the back of his truck.
And I'm guessing there was no reason for this head injury. They're just like, oh gosh, he has a head injury.
Oh no, a head injury.
Yeah.
So he was a single gay man. He was known to be gay. Like, people knew that he was out.
In Durango?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
In the 80s?
Okay. Girl, go to San Francisco.
Yeah, so, and he was also known to party. He used drugs. He was also described as, like, a pretty friendly dude. People trusted him with their cars. He was pretty laid back. Weeks prior to his murder, he had told his friends that he had received death threats over the phone by someone who hated homosexuals.
Okay.
Scared by the threats, he began to carry around a handgun for protection.
Okay, good for him.
And he was last seen on November 9th, the day before he was discovered dead. So police collected clues and evidence, but unfortunately at the time, they just didn't have enough evidence, and the case went cold.
Mm.
Weeks later, another murder in Durango took place. Now, this is pretty, like, out of the ordinary, so people were freaked out. They're like, why are people getting murdered here? Like, this isn't, like, normal. 24-year-old Dennis Slater was a student at Fort Lewis College. He was literally, like, weeks away from graduating with his degree in industrial psychology when he was fatally shot in the back of the head at the liquor store that he worked at. Yeah, like... So young, ready to just, like, start his life.
Yeah, truly start his life.
Yeah. His sister described him as a gentle giant. He was, like, super tall and lanky. And he was really kind. And she said that he was, like, for sure not the type to get in a fight. Like, he did not confront people. He was not, like, aggressive.
He'd be like, peace and love, everybody.
Yeah. So, he enjoyed being outside. He liked being active. But according to police, he was shot in an apparent robbery gone wrong. So since they didn't have a lot of evidence on this crime scene, the case went cold as well. So law enforcement just kind of assumed, because they didn't have a lot to go on, that maybe it was like some transient person traveling through town who needed some money. Ended up, you know, the robbery escalated and he was killed because of that. So, surprise, surprise, Eli knew both men personally.
Oh, wow. I'm so surprised. I'm not. Right. I'm not.
Not surprised at all. So, like I said, Eli had a drug problem. He needed money to fuel said drug problem. So there's a possible motive for robbing the liquor store. The motive for killing his roommate and the auto shop owner.
What's confusing is one of the gentlemen is gay. And correct. So is Eli. So that's so where I'm a little bit like...
Maybe they had a little, like, I don't know, fling. Hookup. And I don't know, maybe because Eli wasn't out, maybe there was a threat of, like, it getting out that he was gay. Like, who knows?
And at that point, he didn't want people to know, because it was still taboo.
It was still, like, such a shame for his
family
and how he grew up and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So who knows? Like, we can't concretely connect Eli to either of those victims. We can't connect him to Dennis or David.
But, like, we can assume what we think, so. Yeah,
we have some kind of, like, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
And he was considered a suspect for those murders. They just didn't have enough to actually link him or convict.
Yeah.
So Eli never confessed to any of the murders that took place. He never confessed to his son, roommate, and then never was he even able to be connected to the other two. So after being paroled, Eli moved to Fort Worth, Texas to start over. He lived the rest of his life in a small apartment with his dog, and friends say he often used crack cocaine. So he's doing great.
Things are going well.
He, in the last few weeks of his life,
things are coming up, Eli.
His landlord was like, there were so many people over there. Like, they were getting complaints. It was like sex workers were coming over. Drug dealers were coming over. His door was like a revolving door. Like, people were in, they were out. Like, there were so many people.
And it was people that were hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing great. January 31st, 2007, Eli was found dead in his apartment. The medical examiner ruled cause of death suicide. So what's kind of like, I mean, I don't want to like go into like a lot of detail on this, but he had like a knife in his arm and it looked like he bled out, which is kind of a weird way to do it.
Did it seem like he did it? Is that what you're saying? It didn't really seem like it. Like, it could have been him, but it could have also...
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, even though the medical examiner said that it was suicide, some of his friends were like, no, he was murdered.
There's a story about this girl named Ellen Greenberg. We'll have to cover it, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, they don't... It could go either way, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. So he was 56 years old at this time, and also a few days before they found him dead, his rent check had been returned by the bank. So
interesting.
Yeah. After his death, fingerprints and DNA were obtained to see if they could connect the two Durango cold cases to him. So based on, like, because he was not cooperative.
Okay, I was going to ask him, like, wait, why is it suddenly, like, linked to him?
Yeah, because they couldn't ever really link it to him. They just suspected him. They wanted to get DNA from him initially with the two Durango cases, but he wouldn't give up DNA, and it kind of came to a standstill. So
that sucks when you have to kind of like hope, right? They'll do it out of the goodness of their heart. You're like, well, they're not going to pursue it
further, like,
yeah,
which probably they should have. But either way, they, now that he's dead, they're like, let's get some fingerprints, let's get some DNA, let's see if we can
he can't him. Stop us now.
Right. And sadly, David Tyler and Dennis Slater's cases are still cold to this day. They were unable to connect the two.
But what they believe is that it was Eli.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I hate when it's not confirmed.
I know.
But hopefully the families of these men, you know, feel some sort of relief.
I don't know. It just...
I mean, I hate it, but I'm also like, maybe they like...
It's hard when there's just, like, not enough to
go off of. Try. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those two are still cold to this day, still remain a mystery. There were some accounts from people over the years talking about David Tyler and how perhaps it was a hate crime. There were accounts of people saying, like, oh, I knew the person who killed him, and it wasn't Eli. Like, there was a lot of kind of, like, talk around it.
Okay.
But nothing ever...
Concrete.
And then with Dennis Slater, the liquor store clerk, like, nothing has really come of that. Like, no one says they know anything.
Yeah.
So potentially it could have been, like, a transient person traveling through town. We just don't know.
Yeah.
So that is the story of the Amish serial killer who potentially killed 4 people.
That's crazy. Definitely
killed 2 people.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's crazy.
Right?
Oh.
Creepy.
Well, I hope the families feel like some type of relief in some way, I guess, just knowing, yeah. But that's rough. Well, we'll post pictures on our Instagram, which is Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
Yeah, and if you have an opinion about this case or you want to tell us what your theory is, let us know at MysteriousMavensPod@gmail.com. We also take suggestions of cases.
Suggestions are pushed to the top of the pile usually, totally. Too. Yeah. So. But yeah, we also have a Facebook group and a TikTok, so go check those out if you're on those.
And say hi to us.
Yeah, please say hi to us. But oh my gosh, well, you guys self-care for yourselves.
Yes, and we'll talk to you next week.
And send positive vibes to Danae. She is needing it at this trying time.
Yes, first time mother.
Sleep deprivation, I'm sure.
I will probably be crazy.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
But
we're going on a big break. I mean, you're not going to notice it.
You won't notice
You're not going to notice a thing, so.
We prepared ahead of time because that's how good we are.
A lot of thoughts and prayers and crying and
crying and pooping.
Yeah, I went into this. But, like,
also cute things.
Yeah. Yeah, very cute things.
Your face doesn't look convincing. You're like, yeah, so cute. Well,
I'm just thinking of baby Ronan. He's going to be very cute. So
he's going to be adorable. I'm like,
you're right. All right.
Bye.
Bye.